I became a little hermit for a few days to protect my voice and said, I can't talk. I'm preparing to talk for a long time.
My favorite section to record was about the juvenile scrub jays that were fighting over a pan of dead mealworms.
Even though I read what I write before I submit it, this was so much more intense.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet best-selling author Chanel Miller, best-selling author Amy Tan, and historian Nell Irvin Painter. Tune in to hear how each of these writers turned their everyday experiences into extraordinary audiobooks, and what they're most excited for listeners to hear. Enjoy!
Hello, this is Chanel Miller, and I am the author of Magnolia Woo Unfolds It All. Magnolia Woo is a 10-year-old living with her parents above their laundromat in New York City, and she is super lonely. She has a dog named Mr. Pants, and luckily, a girl named Iris moves to New York from California. And the two of them take all of the missing socks in the laundromat and go around the neighborhood returning them one by one. And so I had moved to New York right when the pandemic began. I was also incredibly lonely, and my sole forms of interaction for that first year and a half was people at the laundromat, at the post office, the grocery store. And these small daily interactions became life-sustaining. So I wanted to highlight the emphasis of those relationships. I also wanted to celebrate these moments that we overlook or that may seem mundane in our daily lives, but that can accumulate into these grand adventures. And something else I love about the story is that Magnolia and Iris, you know, they have a sock. There's no real logical way of finding the owner, but they do have a strong willingness to set out into the world. And because of that willingness, they end up getting exactly where they need to go. They just have to start. And I think that applies to everything we do in life. We just need one little sock and to get out the door and to just try, and eventually we'll end up where we're meant to be. My word to describe recording this audiobook is delightful. And I think that when you listen, you can, like, hear me smiling through parts of it. A word that I wasn't sure how to pronounce was maraschino cherry. Like, what if it's maraschino? But I think I got it. It's maraschino. My favorite part of this book was just encountering all the random items I have in my book, like lychee and cottage cheese and pepperoncini, and realizing I've created this really colorful world with all kinds of items that don't seem related, but somehow I've connected all of them and turned it into this cohesive story. To prepare, I canceled a lot of hangs and said, I can't talk. I'm preparing to talk for a long time. So I became a little hermit for a few days to protect my voice. And then I think mostly harder, like I'm actually pretty good, I think, at reading aloud. What's difficult sometimes is the confidence, right? You're like telling your story into a room. So I think the most important thing to practice is to keep telling yourself you did a good job and people are happy to hear it and lucky that they're sharing it with you. So tell yourself that before you go in. If I could record this again, I could use a little chapstick. I keep licking my lips. So chapstick. My dream narrator is obviously LeVar Burton, because the Reading Rainbow is responsible for shaping the entirety of my brain. The audiobook I want to listen to next is Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders. My favorite place to listen is all of the time. So when I'm driving or doing dishes or folding my laundry, I feel very comforted as if someone is in the room speaking with me. My favorite time to listen to an audiobook is when I'm walking my dog because she's 15 years old, so she walks like a snail. And so it allows me to slow down and entertain myself. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. Magnolia Wu was almost 10. She was eager to turn 10 because the number 9 looked like a sprout coming out of the ground, small and easily stomped. 10 was a strong, 2-digit number that looked like a sword and a shield that belonged to someone who was about to conquer the world. But Magnolia Wu was not about to conquer the world, because all summer she'd been stuck inside Bing Qiling Bubble's laundromat.
Hi, this is Amy Tan, author of The Backyard Bird Chronicles. I wrote my book because once I became aware of all these wonderful things happening in nature, I had to record it as observations that I would remember later. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be two words, surprisingly fun. I realized I had trouble pronouncing unfathomable. Unfathomable, unfathomable, unfathomable. I can say it when I'm not thinking about it. My favorite section to record was about the juvenile scrub jays that were fighting over a pan of dead mealworms. I prepared for the audiobook recording by listening to audiobooks that I love and by narrators who really did a great job. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would cast Michelle Yeoh. She would be sassy and tough and funny at the same time. The last audiobook that I listened to that I loved was The Caring by Ada Limon. I listen to that every night before I go to sleep. My favorite place to listen to audiobooks is in bed. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. While watching hummingbirds buzz around me, I recall the fantasy every child has, that I could win the trust of wild animals and they would willingly come to me. I imagine tiny avian helicopters dining on my palm. To lure them, I bought Lilliputian hummingbird feeders, 4 for $10. Hope came cheap enough, but I was also realistic. It might take months to gain the hummingbird's interest in the feeder and for it to lose its fear of me.
Hello, this is Nell Irvin Painter, author of I Just Keep Talking. The inspiration for my book came in two different ways. One was over many years as I wrote the essays that are in the book. And the idea, the inspiration of pulling things together into a book. This is not the first collection of my essays. Many years ago, I published Southern History Across the Color Line with the University of North Carolina Press. But all those essays were tightly organized around Southern history and Southern people. I Just Keep Talking is actually kind of the view of the world through my eyes. And as I say in my coda, for many years, I always felt I was just talking to myself. The idea that I was talking to other people and other people might relish, might value hearing, seeing, reading, sharing the way I see the world from a background in the Bay Area, in my family, in my education, in my studies, and in my art. That came from my agent and from my editor, and I'm so glad they had that idea. So the inspiration came over the years and also from other people. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be reorienting. Because even though I read what I write out loud before I submit it for publication, this reading out loud was so much more intense that it became a different kind of experience from writing or even hearing my writing. So I had to be very careful about enunciation, of course, but also about where stress is and hesitations, what went together and where I should pause. So it was reorienting my relationship to my text. There were several words that I didn't know I had trouble pronouncing, and most of those were long words that had lots of consonants in them. What I'd like listeners to hear is the relationship between the text and how I was thinking about the art. I hope that you will look at the PDF and see the art that I'm describing so that you will hear the relationship between the discourse and the images. My favorite section to record, I think, was the coda, because it sums up where I was as I pulled all this together at a specific time between 2020 and 2022. I got to talk about one of my favorite pieces of art, I Knit Socks for Adrian. I prepared for the audiobook by looking at the text, by reading the text. I didn't read all of it, but I read well into it to understand that there were challenges in the text for an audiobook as opposed to challenges for the text as a written text. So I needed to be familiar again with what the text actually said. If I had to record it again, I would bring hot water and honey with me into the studio, because that's very good for the voice and lubricating the mouth, because enunciating clearly is of paramount importance, and you have to keep your spit flowing properly, not too much, but enough. If I weren't going to record my audiobook, I would cast my husband, Glenn Schaefer, because he has a wonderful radio voice. It would make a big difference between my reading, which makes the text and the voice the same thing, the same person, but it would make the audiobook have legs of its own, separate from the text. And I love hearing my husband speak. I do listen to audiobooks, and I can't say what the last great one was that I listened to, because I love them all. And it's really the writing that holds me rather than the audio-ness of the book. I listen to audiobooks in my chair with my feet up. I knit while I listen to audiobooks. I don't listen to audiobooks when I drive. I have a long drive between New Jersey and the Adirondacks. It's about 4 hours. But I drive in silence, and that's when some of my best ideas come floating up out of my reptile brain, which is in my tummy. My reptilian brain operates quite apart from the brain in my head, and silence really stimulates it. And now you can listen to a clip from my audiobook that I hope you will enjoy. I certainly enjoyed making it. It's a good thing I didn't die young. Meaning, it's a good thing for my reputation that I didn't die during the full-blown era of white male default segregation, discrimination, and disappearance that wound down only yesterday. I would have disappeared from memory, just another forgotten Black woman scholar, invisible to history and to historiography. So much in me, a dark-skinned Black woman, always very smart, born in Houston in the Houston Hospital for Negroes in 1942, was suited for disregard.
This is The Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.